In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today with my friend Robin Davis, who is homeschooling 4 of her 5 children. And you were telling us yesterday, Robin, that 2 of the children have paper routes. Do they go on foot? Do they have bikes?
They ride their bikes.
What do they do when it snows?
They walk.
They walk, carrying the papers on their backs, huh?
Yes. I don't drive them. This is their paper route, and it's their experience to be responsible and to be accountable to their customers and handle their money. So they handle it all on their own. They've had it for several years, and I've hardly ever driven them.
Good. May I ask what they do with the money?
Well, we're teaching them to tithe and to save, and then the rest of it is their own, whatever they want to save it for. They've used part of it for their bikes. They have very nice bikes that they've bought with money that they've saved. So we want them to learn the value of a dollar, and I think if they have work experiences where they have to spend their own money, it's just invaluable lesson.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the reasons why Americans seem to have a hatred of work is the emphasis on leisure, the thank God it's Friday syndrome and Blue Monday kind of thing, as though Monday through Friday is just something to be gotten over so that we can, quote, relax, unquote, and go crazy on the weekend. People ask me, is it fair to make children work? Don't they deserve a childhood?
Well, that seems to me to be making a false distinction between childhood and work. I think that for very young children, the mother's work is their play, and that sweeping or washing dishes is fun for them. And Hillary, our 6.5-year-old, if she sees me starting to hand wash some dishes, "Oh, Mommy, please let me do it. Can't I do it?" And I was scrubbing and cutting up potatoes last night. "Oh, please let me do it." And Elliot, "Please let me do it." So I think they are, you know, just born imitators. And if they see us with a cheerful spirit toward the work, it does help. I mean, we are still sinners, and there is that, you know, depravity. So it does take the Holy Spirit, I think, to really change us and give us a godly perspective on the joy that work is and seeing it as unto the Lord.
Nothing is more important, though, than what you call a cheerful attitude in the parent, because if the child sees that the father and the mother hate their work and really dread it and put it off and ignore it, it can't help but create a similar attitude in the child, don't you think?
It certainly, I agree.
I hear from parents of teenagers, they say to me, "How can I possibly teach my 14-year-old or my 16-year-old to work?" What would you say to that?
Well, it's a
started
bit sad.
About 12 years too late.
Right. But I think it's never too late. And I think parents shouldn't get discouraged, because we're all still in process, and that you start where you are. If God suddenly convicts you of something, then that's where you need to start. And maybe even just apologize to the child. "I am sorry that I haven't taught you this sooner, and we're going to work on this together now." So that it's not too late. It's better to start early.
Thank you for that, Robin. You have such a gentle way of putting things, more so than I have. And I have another question. I've heard that sometimes homeschoolers are misunderstood by some of the people in the church. Has there been any effect on your relationship with your church in your doing homeschooling?
Well, I think things are going well at our church, and we love our church and just very much enjoy going to it. I think that the fact that we are doing something different, sometimes people see that as an implicit criticism of the mainstream option of public schooling. We've had some panel discussions in our church where the various different options of Christian schools, public schools, and homeschools are discussed. And so we've tried to be out in the open, and it's really helped in being respectful of one another's positions and, you know, just to encourage one another in raising our children in a godly way, whatever choice we're making. But I'd say that the homeschool family can be a real asset to the church, and that God has created the family and Christ died for the church. These are a very natural pair to be working together. And I see that there are many opportunities for us to serve in our church together as a family, and that this is part of our goal for our children. Let me give you some examples. We have a fellowship dinner at our church once a week. And one week we volunteered to do the cooking. So the children and I, and in this cooking class that we mentioned yesterday, we made 500 meatballs, and we had spaghetti and meatballs. And
goodness,
and so
sakes.
Made these, and then had the experience of preparing the food and serving the food to the people. So this was a service project, but it was also a learning experience. We serve in a home for elderly women, Brookhouse Home in Salem, Massachusetts, once a month, and the children have an opportunity of playing some of their musical pieces there, and I am having a chance to play hymns for these ladies, and we give messages, and they have a chance to minister and encourage these old ladies. So that's a church-related activity, but it fits in so well with our goals for our family. The children are active in the church youth groups and Pioneer Girls and different things like that, Sunday school. We're as involved in the church as probably anybody. So I don't see that I necessarily have to choose that if I homeschool, then I can't be involved in my church, because the two things can work hand in hand.
Well, that's good. I know that I've heard of people suffering almost what you call persecution because of doing such a weird and far-out thing as homeschooling. And sometimes the image of the homeschooler is a certain kind of dress and a certain kind of hairdo, and people who make soap and raise all their own vegetables. Do you make soap and raise all your own vegetables?
No, we live on a seventh of an acre. We have a very tiny yard, and we don't have room for vegetables, and they're very cheap at the vegetable store near us. So I concluded a few years ago that it wasn't worth it to try and garden. I do like flowers, though. We are not weird. We don't dress differently. So no, we're not strange. But in a way, we are strange. We're a strange people as Christians. I think that as homeschoolers, we are bucking the tide, and we're going against the mainstream culture. We already were going against the mainstream culture in being Christians. You know, we're marching to a different drummer. We are against the tide in having five children. I mean, people started raising eyebrows when we had number three. You know, we just have to get our marching orders from the Lord. And if we feel that God is leading us in a certain direction, then just to do it and to try and be gentle and respectful and kind to people who differ and not be defensive. We're marching to a different drummer in my being at home full time, and I'm only, you know, a housewife, and I have a college degree from a good college and a master's degree, and I'm only, you know, a housewife
and
a mother.
So you're throwing away your talents, are you, Robin?
Well, so some might say, and I don't feel that I am at all.
I would say you're offering them to God and offering them for the blessing of your children as well. I don't know of any higher and holier calling than that of a mother. And the more intelligent the mother is, well, the more the family may be blessed in ways, because these are God's gifts, aren't they?
They certainly are. And I think that using all of my background, all of my education as the homeschool teacher and as the mom, and as a wife, I feel that all of my background is being used wonderfully, and that now I can share all that I've learned in my past. I can share that with my children. I loved to learn. I loved school all the way along. It was really a joy to learn. So it's a joy to try and share this enthusiasm with my children.
Is there quite a difference in the, I don't know whether you call it the IQ of your children?
We don't know the IQ of our children. We've never had that tested.
But can you see a difference in the speed with which they learn, for example?
Oh, certainly.
There are differences there, and you have to adapt to that.
There certainly are differences, and they have certain... That's another one of the great things about homeschooling, is that you can individualize according to the student's learning style, learning speed, their interests. It can be very personal. Sometimes people wonder about special needs children. How could I ever teach a special needs child? And families who do have special needs children, I think, are in a great position to give the child that special attention that they really need, and that continuity from year to year. The parents can learn what sort of program would be best and then implement that program in the home.
Thank you for that. Now, what about college, though? Can any homeschooling child make it into a good college?
Well, the Colfax family that you mentioned a few days ago, I think the parents were Mickey and David Colfax, who wrote the book
Homeschooling for Excellence.
Their children have gone to Harvard. Their sons have gone to Harvard from total homeschooling out in California. Homeschool students do go to college. At least half go on to college, according to a study that was done. One person that I was talking with who is a researcher on homeschooling, his name is Brian Ray, and he said that basically what you need to get into college is good SAT scores and tuition money.
Well, thanks ever so much, Robin. My guest has been Robin Davis.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.